the morning call to worship. The Psalms are songs of praise, lament, encouragement, and thanksgiving. They are prayers through which we grow closer in relationship with God. They truly help us worship the Lord. Let us stand as we are able to remember the words of the 34th Psalm to begin our service of worship. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. Please turn to hymn 88, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. It is said that confession is good for the soul. We think of the act as a highly personal act of worshiping our God and King. And so it is. But when words declaring who and what we are spoken together as one body, we recognize that even though we have gathered together to worship God in community, we are still broken because as one, we've turned away from our Lord and Savior. Will you please join me to prayfully remember aloud our condition and ask for God's mercy? God of heaven, we give thanks for sending us Jesus Christ in your name. Even though we profess to follow him, we confess that in times of trial, we too often deny him. Forgive us and heal us, we pray. Help us to put our faith not in the princes of this world, but only in the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, amen. the assurance of who we are. Friends, hear the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all our goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. With such mercy shining amongst us, it is good and right to share Christ's peace with all we meet. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please extend this peace to one another with a wave or a bow.
I don't know how God does it. But if that song does not exemplify worship, I don't know what does. We worship Christ the King because of what he did for me. Thank you, Mindy and Kathy. I had no idea how well that was going to fit. Got goosebumps. Just saying. Will you pray with me? Oh God, Father, Son, and Spirit, you created the world, you saved the world, and you lead the world. There is nothing more that we can do than worship you and give thanksgiving and praise. Teach us now. Teach us with your word. Teach us how to worship you. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes to us from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, beginning with verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered them, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wow. Hosanna in the highest, the ancient song we sing. For Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven, our King. Sing along if you know it. Oh, may we ever praise him with heart and life and voice, and in his blissful presence eternally rejoice. We don't get to sing that often enough, do we? Such joyful, worshipful words were sung on that day when Jesus entered Jerusalem. No wonder we still read and sing of them. They exemplify our ideal of how to worship God. But is that all there is to worship? What does it mean that we're expected to maintain divine worship, as it says in the six great ends? Well, let's start with easier questions. What is it to worship? Why do we worship? What makes worship Christian? What makes it divine? How do we worship? What elements or rituals are required for us to worship? Does it need to be structured to be meaningful? Is there something only done here in this sanctuary? What makes worship worship? What do you think? It's a lot of questions to consider. So today, we're going to try something different. Everyone got their little folded handout? Yeah? If not, please raise your hands and maybe I can ask Richard to bring them out. I see no hands. Okay. Open that little folded thing, turn to your neighbor, and talk for a few minutes, one, maybe two, about the question on your handout. After we're done, I'm going to ask to see if anybody wants to share their answers, okay? Go. Talk to each other. Anybody want to tell us your question and your response? Anybody? Well, I hope you enjoyed talking to one another about worship anyway. Let's look further at what it is to worship. These are beginning questions, beginning thoughts, right? Recently, I asked a newly minted pastor friend to define worship. And she simply replied, "Worship is our response to God in our lives. Worship is our response to God in our lives." Russian Orthodox theologian George Florovsky, how about that for a name, would agree. He believes, and I quote, "Worship is the response of men to the divine call. It is essentially corporate. For to be Christian is to be in community in the church." And in his large catechism, Martin Luther, bless his ability to unpack ideas in practical terms, said these words, "In worship, the people assemble to hear and discuss God's word and then praise God with song and prayer." So gathering together to respond to God's word with praise is a solid baseline for the definition of worship. And you can easily see that our reading today, how the disciples gathered to sing praises to God's word, not scripture, but the living Christ. Of course, we Presbyterians like all things done decently and in order. In fact, there's an entire section of our Book of Order, 42 pages worth, that are devoted to the theology and practice of worship. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but one paragraph, the first, lays it out. It says, "Christian worship gives all glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving to the Holy Triune God. We are gathered in worship to glorify God, who is present and active among us, particularly through the gifts of word and sacrament. We are sent out in service to glorify the same God who is present and active in the world." So in worship, we simply don't sing praises. We thank God for all of God's gifts. Deep within our hearts, we know that living with a sense of gratitude is truly a way of living faithfully, of living worshipfully. Certainly, we are grateful for God's graceful gifts of life. Things like being claimed as God's beloved child, being redeemed through Christ through sin and death, our families, our friends, our homes, our jobs, all have importance in life. They are worthy of thanksgiving. So how do we share and show our beliefs and feelings to the one who has given us all things good? How do we worship? As Reformed people, we believe in joining together as the priesthood of believers to invite the Holy Spirit to our midst so we may joyfully share our lives and our love for the Creator as one body, just one. And as Christians, all of our worship is lifted to God through our faith that God, Jesus is God's Son and Lord of our lives. And that alone differentiates Christian worship from godly worship by our Jewish brothers and anyone else in the world. How we respond to God's love can take shape in many ways. The arts, music, dance, photographs and paint, sculpture, stained glass, even knitting and sewing can all add to the experience of worship. They are what we give to ourselves and to God's pleasure. But most central to our shared worship is our use of language, our ability to communicate via words, sets humanity apart from other living things. God even chooses to speak to us in words. In truth, God brings all things into being through the Word. God's word is the most important element of worship. And Jesus, the eternal word of God, became flesh and lived among us. Jesus even taught his disciples to pray with words. Prayers are central in worshiping God. Whether it's the confession of our sin or a prayer on behalf of someone else, or a dedication of our talents and treasure, or simply words of praise, prayers draw us into closer relationship with God. And because God created all life and created it good, we are to use language that reflects our gratitude for our lives as God's children, as well as the diversity of life on this earth, even while we speak with words that everyone understands easily. How we speak in worship services, as well as with one another privately, is a way in which we glorify God and respond in gratitude for all the gifts of life that we have received. Our words reflect the truth of our lives, our love for God. So, as Christians, we worship God through Christ by offering praise and thanks with words and artistic expressions. This all sounds as if worshiping God is a celebration of God's glory, doesn't it? Well, it is. And as a way of helping ourselves celebrate together, we've decided to build structures, physical and spiritual, that remind us of who and whose we are. Because heaven and earth belong to God, we can worship in any place, just as did Jesus. Yeah, he attended synagogue, but he also worshiped on the hillside when he fed the 5,000 with physical and spiritual food. And what about the time he spent in the Garden of Gethsemane? That was worship. We also make use of physical materials to allow our hearts to sense God's presence. This building, just look at it. It is spectacularly glorious, and it lifts our spirits straight up into the heavens. Even the fire circle by the shelter house. Both are outstanding examples of structures for worship. The table, made of beautiful wood. reminds us of Jesus' last meal with the disciples, as do bread and juice and water. Water especially calls our earliest faith history to mind. These things, these physical things, have become worship-filled symbols of our faith. But structure is not limited to physical elements. We tend to like to structure the times we gather to praise and glorify God, don't we? Now, worship services can be as simple as the reading of God's word and a prayer or two. The Women's Bible Study regularly does just that. And they also tend to add a story from the newspaper or a book or their own experience that helps them apply the wisdom of Bible passages to everyday life. They interpret God's word. It's a good thing. Our committees open and close with prayers, inviting the Spirit to help them discern how best to be God's people in this time and place. These are all worship gatherings. Surprisingly, private or family devotions centering around prayer and scripture are also valid ways to worship God. Each structure is one through which we can celebrate the goodness of our Creator. Yet these gatherings aren't what we ordinarily think of when we consider what it is to worship. When we say worship, we usually think of Sunday morning services, of going to church, right? We also think that we'll follow special patterns, an order of worship, if you will, when we're at church. We know we'll begin with the welcome and then the prelude. We'll follow that with a call to worship and right on through the bulletin. Yet how we move through the prayers and readings and hymns here at Trinity may not be exactly like the way another Presbyterian church might. Some may first devote 20 minutes to singing praise music, then praying for another 15 before listening into a 45-minute sermon. For that matter, we no longer work through the order in the same way congregations did 100 or 500 years ago. Back then, Calvin preached for hours on end, and there was very little singing. The question is, do these various structures help worshipers find meaning in the service, in their relationship and response to God? More importantly, do they joyfully invite the Spirit's presence? Do they honor God with praise and thanksgiving from the heart? Do they let all of God's children come to Him? If the answers to these questions are yes, then there is worship. Since that first parade of palms, and like every follower of Jesus since the first 12 disciples were called, His followers are responsible for the maintenance of divine worship. Paul taught and baptized at the riverside. Priscilla and Aquila led congregations in prayerful gatherings, most of which were not in temples or sanctuaries, but in homes. And what happened to the church in Macedonia when Paul couldn't be present? Elders led the church in worship. Elders even preached. Various members of this congregation serve as liturgists and lead Bible studies and committee meetings. That tradition of the priesthood of believers in worship is handed down. All of these faith-filled folks gather as Christ's earthly body to share his word and support one another in their faith. And that's what matters most, that they gathered, that they praised God and gave thanksgiving for all of God's benefits, and then strengthened by that praise and thanksgiving, they go home to spend private time praying and worshiping the Lord before going back out into the world to serve God by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, not just by word, but also in deed. The last part of the Presbyterian Words on Worship said this, remember? We are sent out in service to glorify the same God who is present and active in the world. We are sent out. It makes me think that when we respond to God's blessings, we glorify God. And glorifying God anywhere and any way is worshiping God. So doesn't that mean when we serve God in the world, we are worshiping our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer? The Spirit gathers us here, spiritually feeds and strengthens us as we pray and praise God and receive communion. We worship here, but our worship, our praise of God, does not end here. It goes wherever we go, as Jesus' hands and feet in this world. So it seems that our entire lives are to be spent maintaining divine worship. Thanks be to God for worship. Will you turn to page 341 in your hymnal and join me in praising and thanking God by singing Blessed Assurance together? What's the
341.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, 341.
Thank you.
The affirmation of faith. Today's statement of faith comes to us from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Will you please rise as you are able to say to God and one another what you believe, as printed in the bulletin? Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Worship is a time of praise and thanksgiving, songs and prayers. So many elements of our worship order are prayers. But now is the time for us to gather our hearts and lift them as one body to our Lord throughout the prayers of this people. Let us pray. O great and glorious God, we live and breathe in awe of your grandeur and have gathered to sing praises to your holy yet merciful name. We lift up to you our praises for all you have done for us and for this world. Your very word created beauty and wonder from chaos and nothingness. Your voice separated deep from deep to form star-studded heavens, rich and fertile earth, and seas teeming with life that we cannot imagine. Creating us, you called us beloved and gave each of us names. You provide for our every need, not just the things that support our physical lives, air and water and food, shelter from the elements, and reasonably good health. But you also ensured our spiritual and emotional well-being, blessing us with friends and families for whom we care and who care for us. And throughout all our lives, you have remained with us, guiding us towards the life you want for us, fulfilled with your compassion and hope. O Lord, the mere thought of such gifts as these remind us of how small we are when compared to your greatness. The love you have showered upon us totally amazes us. And because of your graciousness, we give you all glory, all laud and honor. In humble wonder, we worship only you. So it is with quiet faith and honor that we now ask you to care for the church, your body on this planet. Confirm in the hearts of Jesus' modern day disciples a will to serve you by loving neighbors and doing good towards enemies. We ask that you give governing officials of all nations wisdom in the ways of peace and justice. Help those who govern determination to pursue the common good and live in your truth, seeking only the things that benefit not just their own country, but the peoples of the world. We pray especially for the leaders of Afghanistan, who now face the anger and hatred of Taliban warriors, and whose capital verges on falling. We lift up to you their people, as well as people everywhere who live under the oppression of those whose values repress their abilities to move about freely in service to others. O great and good God, we pray for the sick, the poor, and those who are in trouble. We especially pray for the people of Haiti, who are suffering yet another catastrophe. How long, O Lord, must they endure? Stir up in us, your church, the desire to be your instruments of relief of such human misery. And we lift up to you those who grieve the loss of a relationship or the life of a loved one, especially those who have lost a child. Help them know that their best interests are in your heart and that you are walking with them through these lonesome valleys. And now, most glorious one, hear us as we respond to your love with praise by remembering the words your Son gave those who would follow him, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us.
this worship service has followed an order, a structure. We have gathered to praise and give thanksgivings to our God. But now our service is over. And yet, we, the strengthened, are to go out into the world to serve again, to be in service, to worship God with all of our bodies, minds, and souls each and every day. But we do not go alone. For the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community of the Holy Spirit go with us each and every day. Amen and amen.